And there in Luke 16, we'll read together. Now, when my brother Ken was a little boy, I would see him. I can still see it in my eye. He'd crawl up in Daddy's lap. I mean, I know y'all thought that he was older than me, but anyway, he would crawl up in Daddy's lap, and Daddy would say, "Ken, what Bible story do you want me to read to you tonight?" Because he'd read them so many times. And Ken would almost always say, "I want you to read about the rich man and Lazarus." That stuck with me all these years. So that would be my text this morning. Verse number 20 of Luke 16. And there was a certain beggar, meaning this is not a parable, this is a true story. This has been happening from that day until this. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That means into paradise, the place where the departed Old Testament saints went when they died until the resurrection of Jesus. The rich man also died and was buried. And the Bible says there seems to be an immediacy here, and in hell. That's what happens to people when they're not ready to meet the Lord. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom there in paradise. And he cried and said, he didn't say this with a normal voice, okay? "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." If I could quote my brother, he said, one was a beggar in this life and one was a beggar in the next life. But Abraham said, "Son, remember," you'll remember in hell, "remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed." There's a petition. "So that they which would come from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house." This is what people in hell today, they're begging that I would give the gospel out, that my brother would give the gospel out, that ministers all over this world would give out the gospel to their relatives this morning. "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But you know how people are, the 911 God, he does something for them, and then maybe years later they don't remember, it grows dim, and he knew this. "Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, they have Brother Ken, the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay or no, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. But knowing the nature of men, we know that's different. And he said unto them, if they will not hear the pastor, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Let us pray. And if you need prayer for your body right now, the Lord has spoken to me. There's going to be healings in this room this morning, but not just in this room. For those of you, we're privileged to have you watching on internet with us. Lay your hand on that part of your body or just on your body. Or if you know someone who is ill this morning and needs a healing, lay your hand on your body in their stead, and we're going to pray for the Lord to heal them right now. Father, we come to you in the powerful name of Jesus, thanking you, God, that you're able to do anything but fail. How excellent is your name, O God, in all the earth. Now, Lord, I ask you to heal the sick. You took an excruciating whipping. Your body was shredded and mutilated. And they took all your clothes off of you, and you let them string you up to a Roman whipping post and lash you 39 times with inconceivable pain, that we could pray for the sick right now. So we tap into that resource of Calvary, And we ask you to lay your hand that has the hole in it, Lord, on these sick bodies right here in this room. For with your stripes we are healed. And by internet, Lord, I pray you'd send your word and you would heal people right now. Heal marriages, heal homes, heal emotions, heal court cases. God, heal people of everything that needs a healing, needs a touch, needs the miraculous right now. Lay your hand on it, Lord. And as the centurion said, we're not worthy that you should come under this roof, but speak the word only, and thy servant shall be healed. And Lord, we've been seeing more and more people healed now. So I ask you again to confirm your word this morning. Let faith arise in hearts in here. Now, I can't heal anybody, but you're here, Jesus, and you can. And so I pray, Lord, that from this hour on, they would begin to amend, and that as they go, they'd be healed, and they'd feel better when they leave church this morning than when they came. And I humbly ask you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. To speak through me. I'm just the plumbing. I am nothing. You're everything. Take nothing and use it for your glory. Show me how to decrease more and more so that you may increase more and more. And I ask you, Lord, to just speak through these lips of clay this morning. I don't have enough persuasive ability to do anything, but Holy Spirit, you are here, and you're the great convincer, and you're the great convictor, and you're the one that knows what to do. So I ask you to drive this home into the hearts of the people. And Lord, I pray for an uncommon anointing. We'd ask it now in Jesus' powerful name. I pray that Jesus would be glorified and the devil would be horrified in this service. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Do you need special prayer? Okay. All right. This is not my service. This is the Lord's service, and we're going to pray for the sick right now. Everybody extend your hand toward my sister. Brother Ken, would you anoint her with oil, please? Before we pray for her, I just got this card as I walked in the building from a lady, Sister Lynette Alfonso, and to build your faith right now. She said, I had suffered with fibromyalgia for over 2 years. In 2001, on Mother's Day, after the evening service, you prayed for me. God heal me, and I'm still healed after these past 20 years. Praise the Lord. To God alone be the glory. That's what I love, the spontaneity of the Spirit, and we've lost it in a lot of places. And I know just last night I was texting with Brother Claunch, and that's what he's wanting to see at the district council, signs following, wanting to see people healed. He just saw a baby miraculously healed, showed me a little video clip of that baby couldn't open a fist, and all of a sudden it could. And had no feeling or movement on its left side, and all of a sudden it started turning over and healed by the mighty power of God. That should be the norm, not the exception. Praise the Lord. In relation to our scriptures, the most packed prayer meeting and the loudest anywhere is in hell right now. Everybody is praying, calling on God to get them out. But today on earth is that day to do that, not after the fact. For today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. You know, all atheists eventually believe. They either believe here or they believe there. And it's better to believe here than there. There was a day when you were not. There will never be another day when you are not. And I tell my students, you decide your grade, and I will write it down and send it in. And God says to you, you decide your final destination, and I will write it down. The title of this message is what every person in eternity would say to you today. Every person in eternity would tell you to read the Bible, because every word in this book is God-breathed by the same breath that breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It's not S-I-R-I giving you directions. It's G-O-D giving you directions to heaven. I have a student, and he witnesses to somebody, tries to do it every day, got hooked on it. He's addicted to it. And every day I'm asking him, okay, who'd you witness to yesterday? But he said he got to where he pulls up to the traffic light, and if there's somebody beside him, he'll roll down his window and get them to roll down theirs, and they think they got a flat tire or something, so they roll their window down. And he said, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you, and you're important to him, and you were his idea, and he wants to come in and take every sin away, and he just goes into it for the few seconds that he has right there. I wouldn't advise you ladies to do that, but anyway, that's what he does. And he's giving them the road map to heaven. I would tell you today, it's good to also memorize this word. One day, someone will need you to write down every verse you can remember when they take our Bibles away from us. Now, I hope that that doesn't happen, and I pray to God that the Lord will intervene. But it looks like that is coming down the pike eventually, but we're expecting a miracle. I'm proud of Texas for our governor saying that you can't take a baby's life in the womb as of this week. If there's a heartbeat there, praise God. Also, he protected your Second Amendment rights. And also, they just passed that they can't teach the critical race theory in the schools in Texas. So your prayers are working for this nation. And Texas is doing a good job so far. But I tell my students that there's legislation right now. We memorize a scripture every day. I try to get the shortest ones I can find, like Jesus wept, so they won't be. Anyway, they don't like long ones. But they memorize a verse every day so that by the time of the end of the semester, they know 28 verses. And I said, you need to have this in your heart in case we have to write it down eventually. And, you know, I believe this, and I would predict this, that they're going to pull out isolated portions out of the scriptures and call it racist, sexist, cultist, ethicist, militarist, polygamist, pantheist, socialist, trivialist, and extremist. But I found it's the bestest. Hallelujah. To try to cancel the Bible is to try to cancel God. And I just say, dream on, demoniacs. When I go down and I walk in the park in Waxahachie, they got a nice wide sidewalk down there to walk on. It's a 4-mile walk. And so I take a piece of chalk, and after each rain, I write down on there on the sidewalk in one place, big letters, talk to Jesus for peace, read the Bible. Because I know that there's actually even some Muslims that walk across there. And so I'm just trying to do anything, because there's a lot of people that walk down there who are hopeless. But this Bible will give you hope. It's the incorruptible, indestructible, infallible, efficacious, inerrant, authoritative, final rule of faith and practice. It's the ever living seed. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but he said, my Word shall not pass away. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth, but the Word of the Lord will endure forever. For God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You read the Bible, and the Bible will read you. And it'll give you a solution in an age of confusion. You will find it to be current. I do. If I get discouraged, I just read Psalm 37 out loud, and I'm like, oh, that's the latest word on this. Hallelujah. You'll find understanding and hope for what you hear in your daily, even conservative news sites. Is there anything too difficult for God Almighty? If it's a thing, God can do it. If it's a disease, God can heal it. If it's lost, God can find it. If it's hungry, God can fill it. If it's difficult, God can manage it. If it doesn't have a name, just call it a thing. For God can do anything. Hallelujah. Which brings us back to full circle. The Word is God. And every person in eternity today, regardless of which place they're in, they would tell you to pray. For the Holy Spirit that we're accenting today helps us pray. All people in eternity would tell you, talk to God. And most on earth's side too who know God. Ann Harper's mother, Sister Virginia Thornton, she would tell you to pray. Sister Norma's mother and daddy today would tell you to pray. Sister Medlin today would tell you to pray. Brother Ken's dad and mother and mine, they would tell us to pray. President John F. Kennedy would tell you to pray. Adolf Hitler would tell you to pray. He had an evil spirit of charisma about him that would mesmerize a crowd and they would grow silent. Madeline Murray O'Hare today would tell you to pray. Billy Graham would tell you to pray. David Wilkerson would tell you to pray. Smith Wigglesworth would tell you to pray. Mariah Woodworth Eder, the grandmother of Pentecost, she would tell you to pray. They would all tell you to talk to God, for all in eternity have seen God visibly. At the end of the journey is God. God created us for fellowship with Him. He doesn't like feeling sidelined or marginalized or second. He doesn't like feeling isolated or ostracized or neglected or unneeded. He doesn't like social distancing from Him. He likes friendship with Jesus. Fellowship divine. Oh, what glory, sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. For things happen when you pray that will not happen if you do not pray. Prayer never hurt anything. It can only help things, said E.M. Bounds. Jim Caviezel, he was the man who played the part of Jesus Christ in the film The Passion of the Christ. And I was reading that when they found Saddam Hussein, they dragged him out, and he was hiding in a spider hole in the ground, and he had just enough space for a man to lie down in, and then he had bricks and dirt camouflaged that entrance to the hiding place. His beard was long, his hair was ragged. And when they opened that up, they pulled that back, he knew what was going to happen to him. And we all knew it was in the Mideast, and it was not going to be long. He would be hung. And so I had already been praying for his soul, but I started praying for his soul. I'm like, God, that man's fixing to go. He is fixing to go. Because no matter how bad anybody's been, I don't ever want anybody to go to hell. So I was listening to Jim Caviezel, who portrayed Christ, and I was listening. They were doing a big prayer meeting in Oklahoma, about 3,000 or 4,000 people, just a few weeks ago, and I was hearing him tell some things. And the MC told some things that happened to him while he was filming that movie. And he was struck by lightning 7 to 8 times, he said. And Jim Caviezel almost died of pneumonia and other things. In fact, they said while he was filming the part of Jesus that they said, you know, he could actually die. But as I was studying about this, I dug deeper. I came upon this word. The last movie Saddam Hussein watched before he died was The Passion of the Christ. Wow. I don't know, but God knows. But it reminded me again of what John 3:16 meant. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We should pray because God said, simply call unto me, those of you in First Assembly, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. He also said, you in this room, let your requests be made known unto God. So let us do that. And then let me just use this as a little illustration right here if I can. Okay, we're going to pray. We're going to pretend that that's not working very good. Norman, would you come up here and help me just a minute? I meant to bring a little illustration, but this is going to represent a mountain. Okay? This is not the biggest mountain in the world. But it's going to represent a mountain because you will find in the Word of God, just hold it up like a little mountain, okay? Thank you. The Bible says, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, aren't you glad your mother didn't name you that? Before Zerubbabel, he was a praying man. In other words, put your name in his place before Zerubbabel, or before the praying people of First Assembly of God in Quitman, Texas. Thou shalt become a plain. Okay, so I read that the plain in the Hebrew means it shall become so flat as to be close shaved with a razor. Excuse me, I need a little praise break there. Hallelujah. The mountain you've been praying about is so big in front of you. No matter what it is, I've got a distance ed student watching right now that has a court case. That mountain is going to become a plain so flat, just like shaved with a razor. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of power you have with God through the power of the Holy Ghost. And then every person in eternity today would tell you to go to church where the Holy Spirit works like he is this morning. Why you can in free America, because you won't be able to when, but prayerfully not, when this communism closes the deal in days to come. But let me say on top of that, I am still believing for a national miracle. If George Washington believed for one, I can too. And if Reese Howes believed for one and the outcome of wars was changed nationally, I've got that kind of faith too. And so I'm believing for that. And I was encouraged this week. I saw a headline yesterday that said regarding the forensic audits in Arizona and Georgia plus some others. Here's the title. The dominoes are starting to fall. The freight train is coming across the country. Keep the prayer pedal to the metal for divine intervention any way God wants to do it. I believe it's coming. For the scripture says, when Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? And I don't want the eternal judge looking at me and saying, you were skeptical, you were doubtful, you were pessimistic. I want him to come and say, you had faith. Well, why should I go to church anyway? Let's go back to that. Because the word of God declares, thy way, O God, is where? In the sanctuary. Psalm 77:13. You get help to find your way, because it's easy to lose your way during the week in the whole counsel of God in this Bible-soaked church. Don't lose your way. As the billboard said, don't wait for six strong men to carry you to church. Why should you go to church? Because the scripture says, may God send thee help from the sanctuary. Psalm 22. Anybody need help for your week coming up? I know I do. You tell the world and God, you're putting God in the first day of your work week by your cars parked in that parking lot. You walk in here and keep your hard copy Bible with you, but because that's a good witness when you're walking into the house of God. You feel a loss, a gap, a vacuum if you don't start your week off in church. And of course, I'm not talking to anybody in this room because you're all here, but I'm just encouraging you. My dad told me that when he was cold in his soul after coming out of World War II and 4 years in the military with no church, he said the most miserable day of his week was Sunday. Trying to fill the void, doing the yard, working, whatever people are doing, going to an activity, shopping. He said, I would feel empty on Sundays if I didn't go to church. But when my dad rekindled the fire in his soul, he did it for a lifetime because he found out that Sundays were miserable without going to church. I'm waiting for the applause to die down. Anyway, but I want to tell you, my dad is in, and my mother too, they are in eternal church right now. It's on fire, Holy Ghost church in heaven. I know because I went there in a dream. I was in a church service up there, and I couldn't believe how Pentecostal it was. I'm telling you what, it was alive and on fire. It was registered about 8 on the Richter scale. And I remember I was waiting for my brother Dennis to get into that service. And I'm like, oh my, when Dennis gets in here, he's just going to take off and start running. This thing was Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Praise God. We've got everything to look forward to. Go to the house of God, because there will be the house of God experience when you get to heaven as well. Why do I need to go to church? Because of the fellowship of believers. Iron sharpeneth iron. You know, you just feel strengthened and supported. By just going to church, you kind of absorb some encouragement, strength, just by seeing your fellow believers in the church. I'm just glad because I got to meet Rich this morning, 7 years old, right there on the front seat. I got to see him in church. I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 7. You know, they're taking in stuff. It's coming. They're not just zoned out. They're hearing things. I know I was. And, you know, if you don't feel safe, with what all we're in right now, going to church, and if anything more should happen, God forbid, but find fired up church, either on television, online, or on site. Just go to church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day. How many of you think we're seeing the day approaching? As you see the day approaching. So go before communism tells us we can't, but we're going to rise up. Hallelujah. And then every person in eternity would tell you to make things right with God, to be saved from hell. That phrase, be saved, is to be saved from eternal hell, to be saved from it, to go to eternal heaven. And it's the Holy Spirit that we're talking about today that draws men to Christ. My brother Dennis asked me if I would relate this story another time, and my sister-in-law Esther said, are you writing these things down? So I'm just going to relate a little story, and no boasting for me. Jesus alone gets all the glory for this. And any testimony, I always feel uneasy sharing because people could misunderstand, but I am nothing and Christ is all. So during the pandemic, I was walking and praying through the, there's a cemetery that's in Waxahachie in that park, and you walk through the cemetery as well. And that's my custom to walk and pray there. And so I looked one day and I saw a grave that had the most flowers on it I'd ever seen on a grave before. And thinking this was a well-known, well-beloved person, I thought, I'm just going to walk over there to the grave. And there was his picture and name. A young man one of my students had requested prayer for. He lingered 3 days after a car accident. And we had prayed for this senior in high school. He would have graduated Friday night. He was a star baseball player about to go to a big university on a full-ride scholarship. He was 17, and he is dying 2 days before his 18th birthday. He had told his mother and some he didn't ever think he would live to be 18. I guess God was putting it in his spirit and giving him a heads up. He witnessed to a lady in Walmart 2 days before he died, and she called to tell the family about it when she heard the shattering news. And I walked away feeling sad, but I was glad that the class had prayed for him. The next day I was walking through that same cemetery, and I saw a young man lying on the ground beside the same grave. I knew what that meant. Been there, done that. The loss is so excruciating, you cry your heart out. And all of you know if you love someone that much. My heart wanted to reach out to him, but no one ever had taught me cemetery ethics, nor had I ever read of such. So I proceeded to walk on past, and the grave was about 30 yards from the sidewalk. And then the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, go comfort him. The Spirit said, the worst thing that can happen to you is that he will reject you, or tell you he needs private time. So stop worrying about what anybody thinks about you and get rid of your stinking pride and do what I told you to do. I said, okay, God. That's how God talks to me. So I walked over gently, and tears were now on my face, and I said, I just came to help you cry a minute. I am so sorry for your loss. We prayed for this young man in my class with care. Are you related? He said, he's my baby brother. Now my tears are flowing. And I told him how sorry I was again and proceeded to try to comfort him with God's word. He's maybe like 23 years of age. Then I asked him if he would like for me to pray a prayer with him to make sure that we go where his witnessing brother is now. He said yes. So I led him in the sinner's prayer with a weeping heart. He prayed it after me. And I left praising God for church around a grave. I bought him a Life in the Spirit study Bible. Got good a discipleship commentary in it and gave it to him when it came in. Incidentally, he told me as we were standing there, he said, the Methodist hospital in Dallas erased my brother's huge medical bill, including a helicopter ride. He said, my high school raised $16,000 to buy him a memorial headstone. The church that allowed them to have the funeral in it paid for his brother's entire funeral expense. And his employer gave him 2 weeks off, paid. Wow. The next day I walked by, and he was there again. So I went, and I'm not trying to calculate any time or anything, but I went to talk to him a minute, and I asked him if he wanted me to pray with him again, and he said yes. Right before I prayed, I looked up, and there were two more teenage boys that had showed up, and they were standing there at the end of the grave. And so I got acquainted with them, and they were baseball teammates of the deceased, because the playing field, the baseball practice field, is right there next to the park, and they had walked over. And so, long story short, they wanted to accept Christ too. And so now there are four of us around the grave doing an altar call. And they asked Christ in their hearts. They're praying along with me. The next day I walked by, and the brother and a young lady were sitting on the grass by the grave. I walked over and I asked if she were related, and she said, "I am his mother." She had tears in her eyes. I talked with her, and she wanted to accept Christ. It was a moving moment. Of course, I explained to them all that you need to live by the Bible, seal the deal in the eternal end. And I walked away thinking that four people had accepted Christ at the Cemetery Assembly of God. Nobody's trying to get that church. But it's not the typical place I would give altar calls either. A few days later, I got a call to go pray with a lady to get saved in another neighboring town whom they thought she was going to die that day. And on this day, I thought, I'm just going to drive, like you could drive up into the cemetery. I'm just going to drive by there. I don't really know why I was going to do that, but I just wanted to drive by the cemetery. And the mother was there alone at the grave. And I stopped, and she wanted me to pray with her again. And I told her I was about to go pray with a dying lady to get saved. Would she agree with me in prayer for this lady to be saved? She said yes. And so this one day saved mother prayed with me in agreement. So I got in my car and I started to drive out of the cemetery. And about this time I see six guys walking into the cemetery in their baseball practice shirts. I thought, am I gutsy enough to stop? And the Spirit said, yes, you wimp. So I rolled down my car window, and those six teenagers, they were in a line beside my car. And I told them that I had been praying with the brother and was so sorry for the loss of their teammate. And they were sad, their heads hanging down. So I stepped out in faith, and I'm like, in my head, I'm going for the witness. So I explained to all of them and asked them if they would like to pray a prayer of salvation with me, if they ever wanted to see their teammate again. And they all said yes. And they prayed the sinner's prayer, and they weren't just whispering it. They said it with gusto and strong voices, all those young men. Then I told them to read the Bible and live by it in order to make heaven their home. And I was quite blown away by cemetery church, because 10 now had professed Christ in a cemetery with church doors shut during a pandemic. And I wasn't scheduling services at that moment. The Bible says, despise not the day of small things. Then I drove on to the dying lady's house, and she and her little granddaughter accepted Jesus into their hearts. And the lady passed on in just a few days. And last week, I was walking again, and I saw two teenage boys standing at that grave. So I approached and got acquainted. I tried to comfort them, and I sensed they were open. And they wanted to pray the sinner's prayer too. And so those juniors in high school were very sincere. And so now that made about 12, I think, that he accepted Christ at Cemetery Church. You know what? Every person in eternity today would tell you to get saved and then live by the Bible. And every person in eternity today would tell you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. For when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. That's what we're needing in our churches. We're needing the fire like as a fire. It sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Is the promise of the Father fulfilled? Why wouldn't anybody want that? We can logically reason that it was a foregone conclusion that Jesus expected everyone, no denomination excluded, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost when he left and received the promise of the Father and poured it out in the last days. I submit to you that speaking in an unknown language is the initial physical evidence that a person has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't just submit that to you. The Word of God submits that to you. The Holy Spirit is a pick-me-up in life. It's like when you're driving in Dallas traffic and maybe you got a V6 engine and you're just having a lot of trouble, and then you get you an old V8 engine and you get in there and you got that extra power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, for the Holy Ghost is a high you cannot buy. It's the perfect way to pull yourself out of loneliness, out of grief, and the feeling of this upside-down world that we're living in. And once you've been filled, you can pray in this new language. For after all, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought always. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us in our place. And when you pray in tongues, you pray the mind of Christ. You pray the perfect will of God. You get the intellect and the logic out of the way. And the Spirit starts praying through you. And guess what else is happening to you when you do that? For ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm starting to feel this. I'm hooked on the Holy Ghost. I'm addicted to the Holy Ghost. Heaven is full of the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's a baptism in power. It will give you confidence to witness, because that's not my bent, not my personality, not my propensity to witness, like I was just telling you a few things about. In fact, I was walking through that same cemetery this past week, and I saw another lady lying by a grave that was really close. I was walking by, and I'm like, okay, God, here we go again. I walked up, and she was getting up at that time, and I said, I lost my best friend. I know what you're feeling. And I said, are you related? And she said, this is my son, who was killed in a car accident, age 34, in February. I could tell she knew Christ, and she wanted me to pray with her. So we prayed right there, and I needed to give her something for maybe some discipleship or whatever, and I couldn't think of anything. I just pulled out my phone and showed her my little Sunlight Broadcasting Network app, and I said, you can get the gospel and something to pick you up 24/7, even in the midnight hour right here. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is a baptism of confidence and power to witness for Him. And last of all, every person in eternity today would tell you to live drop-dead ready, live rapture ready, because all of these people in eternity, they had to be drop-dead ready. For if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body, hallelujah, by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And the Spirit and the bride this morning, you know what they're saying? They're saying one thing. They're saying, come. The Spirit and the bride are saying, come. Join us. Join us soon. It's about to happen. I've ministered in this church a few times, but if this were my last time ever to minister the Word of God, I would tell you 100% I'm sure that things are wrapping up. I quote, Israel is the lone outpost of democracy in the Middle East. Rush Limbaugh said that, the late Rush Limbaugh. America is despised and hated because they think that the United States makes Israel possible. They hate us so much because we're on her side. But God said, I will bless those who bless Israel, and I'll curse those who curse Israel. But God alone makes Israel possible. And He will show them that as their knees buckle before Him soon. Praise the Lord. So with Israel under intense attack, and you can be sure that Hamas won't keep their word, and now the USA helping fund the terrorists again, God help us, and our once stable support of Israel now questionable in the coming days, I ask you, does America have a better ally than Israel? And then Mr. Top Doctor funding aborted baby scalps to be put on rats in labs to grow hair at the University of Pittsburgh. And you will know that they had a protest against that. Some godly people did the other day in Pennsylvania there. As well as him funding the lab for the virus, and with the choice drug of Washington demon-possessed elites being adrenochrome, as the blood of those dead children crout to God from the ground as did Abel's, we are heading, church, toward the exit sign. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out now that this thing is about depopulation and control of the population. Discern, dig deep to educate yourself, and know that time is your friend. With a cyber attack on our main pipeline a few days ago, and China and Russia now having access to our internet and the power grid, an EMP attack is fathomable. God forbid, electromagnetic pulse that would do away with all of our electricity. I want to say this to you. There is a stealth, sinister, nefarious plot unfolding. Church, stay tuned. But remember, on top of all that I just said, any day now, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, hallelujah, shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Get ready. We are out of here. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. Call us gone. Hallelujah. And on that day, sirens will wail, planes will fall out of the sky, cars will wreck, car wrecks will be off the chart, people will be injured and in excruciating pain, the ERs will be packed, phones will light up, cell phones will jam and won't have reception, text won't go out, internet will go down, phone calls won't go through, cribs will be empty, all the children in the world will be gone. People will be missing. Your loved ones who know Christ will be gone. Your pastor will be gone. Church parking lots will be full. People banging on the church doors. Everyone you knew who prayed will be gone. Nobody can console you because you will be inconsolable. You'll be out of your mind with fright. And you will shake with fear, jarred to the core. As the media lie to you and say a bunch of aliens just kidnapped everybody. But I want to tell you, on the inside, news anchors will pale and tremble as they try to put a secular spin on an undeniable spiritual event. Something cataclysmic that has never happened before is exploding before our eyes. And as one wrote, I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come. And you've been left behind. Every person in eternity today would tell you to live rapture ready and live drop dead ready. Would you bow your heads with me, please?